Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional, well-respected author from California, USA, Catherine DeMont. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Ash. It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Catherine is a psychotherapist and an award-winning author. She's the author of, and all of you know, I'm very partial to authors. She's an author of a book titled Beep Beep, Get Out of My Way, 7 Tools for Powerful Creation and Living Your Unstoppable Life. So, Catherine, before we start talking about your book, tell me about your own journey in brief.
Sure. Thank you. I know it's probably stereotypical to start at the very, very beginning, but my birth story probably is very significant in that I was born a twin. I am a twin, but my mother and the doctor did not know that she was having twins. Mm-hmm. I was the second to arrive and I came 8 minutes after my sister. And the fact that I was a surprise and that it was so much more work became part of the legacy I would carry because I was reminded of it often. And I think my mom was very much impacted for all of my life and all of her life by having twins that she didn't expect. And she made quite a big deal of it. Okay. And so that's my beginning.
Amazing.
Starts right at the start.
Fascinating. So let's come to your book, Beep Beep, Get Out of My Way, 7 Tools for Powerful Creation and Living Your Unstoppable Life. And before I ask you any questions, I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Catherine DeMont's book. I will also go and check it out. So Catherine, tell me about the inspiration behind your book. What led you to write it?
Well, what led me to write it was that I noticed in my private practice that people tended to come to me and they tend to come to therapists because something feels missing in their life, or they have anxiety or depression about something that feels incomplete for them. So in my practice, I sort of threw out tools here and there as it fit, and I noticed that they were repeated a lot. Things like watching your thoughts, and because what you think you will attract, and then you'll have confirmation bias and believe that to be true. So if you have wounds around not being enough or being too much or things like that, you'll find proof. Find proof of whatever you believe. So I noticed I would talk about watching your thoughts and what you say after the words I am, for example. It was very powerful. And I noticed I often talked about what's in our shadow, which is a Carl Jung technique about the stuff that's hidden beneath the surface that we're unaware of. Things like that. So when I realized that, I thought it might be nice to put the ones I use most in one place. And I created something called an abundance circle.
Right.
And share those tools with people. And from those circles, people were attracting like crazy, the thing that felt missing for them, whether it was a romantic partner or more financial flow or whatever it was. When they did their inside work, the outside changed. And so I shared the tools and stories from those abundance circles in my book.
Fascinating. And since you've spoken about abundance circle, tell me a little bit about what it means and how does it work, and give me an example.
Sure. So what it means is whatever is abundance for that person. It doesn't have to be financial. I used to think of it that way only, but it could be an abundance of health or an abundance of love, abundance of connection, or abundance of financial flow, as you said. Oh my gosh, there were so many examples. There were examples of people who were highly successful in their business life, but wanted a partner to share life with, but they weren't even dating, let alone getting married. And they really, really wanted to get married. And so in the circles, we might have them talk about what this person looks like and what does it feel like when you're around them. That's called the law of resonance, by the way, like feel into it and try to not just imagine it, but feel it. And then other people were supporting that vision. And often, so often, people would meet, if it was a woman, she wanted to marry a man, she would meet the man in the course of the 8 sessions that we meet, and they would later get married when she hadn't been, even been dating before that. So it's, they were really powerful. There were many stories like that, or people really wanting to move, but their job wouldn't let them, or they were stuck, and then getting an offer to be transferred to that very city and things like that. It was
amazing.
Just incredible.
Thank you for sharing these. Sure. Catherine, you also talk about 7 tools. Tell me about these tools and what are some of the tools that we should take away from this book?
I'm happy to name all of them, actually. They came to me. I know I mentioned that I sprinkled them in my practice and they were familiar to me, but they started coming to me, and I believe it was almost channeled, and they came in a very specific order. And this order really makes sense to me, and I'll explain what that means. So the first tool is deep desire plus work. And the work piece is that we can't just try to think about it and wish it will show up. We have to put energy behind it. And we've all done that all our life. Like if you wanted to get a good grade in school, you studied. So the deep desire is the work, is the desire piece. And then the putting energy behind it would is the work piece, like studying. So deep desire plus work is tool number one. Tool number two is receiving. And a lot of us, especially women, unfortunately, are very poor at receiving. And the reason I put it way up in the front of the tools is because if you're not good at receiving, like many of us can't even receive a compliment very well, or help, offers for help. So you know I've got it, even if we would really like the help. So receiving's way up at the front, because if you can't receive the smaller things, you're not going to be able to receive the big thing you're asking for. And the next one, receiving, and the next one is shadow work, which is the unconscious material. The parts of yourself that you have hidden from yourself. And then come I am statements, which I thought made sense, because if you're discovering who you're not by looking at your shadow, then you replace that with I am, and you want to make sure your I ams are always positive. The next one is love versus fear. So that ideally in our lives, we're coming from love as often as possible. As opposed to fear. I find that the decisions made from love are often the best ones anyway.
Right.
But if we find ourselves saying things like, I'm afraid if I don't major in accounting or something like that, I won't get a job, so I'll give up my dream of studying English lit or something that moves me, something like that. And it doesn't tend to work. Or I'm afraid if I marry that guy for love instead of this one, I feel more financially secure with, or something. It just doesn't tend to work. So love versus fear is the next one. The next one is synchronicity. I love that one too. To me, synchronicity is like the universe and we are dancing together. You start seeing signs, you start that are kind of like, you know, like on your road, like road signs, you know, that tell you the way to go, or that you're on the right track. I love synchronicity. I think it's so much fun. And then the last one is grace and gratitude, which is receiving the things with ease and grace, letting them flow in, and then being grateful for them.
Very interesting. Very interesting. But tell me, you know, these are all such powerful tools, all 7 of them: desire, receiving, shadow work, I am statement, love versus fear, synchronicity, and grace and gratitude. How do people integrate these tools into their daily routines without getting overwhelmed?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never had anybody in a circle say that it felt overwhelming. And I maybe because they're so sweet, you know, there's sweet things to add. I think that they don't feel like it's work, even though the first one has work in the title of it. I think they're so lovely to step into, you know, to step into these states of being, that I don't find anyone has ever felt that they were overwhelming in any way, unfortunately.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Great response. And my next question is that, you know, part of the title of your book is Living Your Unstoppable Life. Help me understand what you mean with this phrase, and how does one translate this into everyday actions and decisions?
Great question. It came to me from watching the people receive the big thing that they asked for in life. And when they did, they were on fire because they realized, if I can attract a partner when I've been wanting one for years, or shift my money story, or create what that project I wanted to do, they could do the small things. You know, like a lot of us can get the parking lot spots when we're in a crowded parking lot by just asking, and that one's easy. But that doesn't necessarily light us up. It doesn't remind us that we can do the big things, right?
Correct.
But if we can attract the big things, I noticed that, people were so excited, and they ended up having almost like a light within them that was a magnet for even more good and more connection to people. Because there was something so magnetic about them that they were they to me were unstoppable. They could do whatever they wanted,
Well said. And Catherine, are there any misconceptions or challenges people face when they're trying to apply the principles in your book?
I have heard anybody say that, but I know that part of the reason I wrote the book actually is because I felt there were misconceptions around some of the things I read or watched about attraction that made it seem really easy. Like there wasn't a lot of inner work I would need to do. If I just believed it enough, then I could, you know, turn my money story around, or I'd get the travel I wanted to do. But there is more to it than that. And I almost felt, and I've heard other people say this too, that they felt a little set up, that it was just sitting and believing it without also putting energy behind it or stepping out of our comfort zone.
Right.
Like, for example, if what I want is to meet somebody, I might have to ask my friends if they know somebody, even if I'm uncomfortable. You know, things like that. And I wish I had known that, and I didn't see that. And I think in general, in the world of attraction, law of attraction and manifesting, that there's a misconception that all you have to do is put your, you know, set your mind to it and think about it a lot, be positive, and it will show up.
Well said. The next question is that for a lot of people who may be motivated to buy your book after listening to you, what would you say is the main message or a call to action you would want a lot of your readers to take away?
I think what the main thing I want them to take away is to listen to that voice within them. And that when we're connected to that voice, it's much easier to have things coming toward us that we want. The other thing, though, I don't really speak to this, but now that you ask, what just kind of came up for me is wanting them to be the best versions of best version of themselves that they can be, like who they came in as this incarnation to be the best of you in this life that you can be. And an image sort of just popped in my head as we were talking about it of, you know, if we were given a diamond ring from somebody that loved us, they loved us so much that they wanted to mark that. And they spent time looking at it, looking for at them, and then finally found just the perfect one, knew the ring size that we wear, picked the style they thought we'd most like and expected that we'd wear it, and that when we wore it, we'd think of them. But if they gave us that, you and I would never just open it, thank them, and then put it in our sock or underwear drawer, right?
We
would wear it because it's valuable. We would want people to see it. We'd want to be reminded of it. And our life is sort of like that diamond ring, that it's a gift because we're that special. And it would be ideal to let that gift shine and let other people see it and be drawn to it and be reminded of who we are when we saw it. And so I guess my takeaway would be something like that,
Very interesting.
That you remember who you are and what your gifts are and let them shine. And when you do, things come your way. I notice so much more flow for my clients and in my own life when I'm being authentic and the best version and remember my value and remember my gifts and share them. So that's what sort of came to me when you asked that question.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful response. And Catherine, what role do you think mindset plays in achieving success, and how do you address it?
Oh, that's a great question. It's so big, Ash. I just think it's so, so big. And there's neuroscience to back that. That up. We know that what you believe, for example, you will attract. And that's not woo-woo. It's just a fact that, like, about, you know, how the brain, when it wires the thoughts that get wired together, you know, fired together, that we will have thoughts and then create feelings around that thoughts, and then the feelings attract certain things. So mindset is everything.
Right.
Also, things like depression and anxiety will affect whether things can show up. If I'm depressed and start believing nothing can come my way, then that's going to be what I attract. I'll make sure of it on an unconscious level. If my mindset is, I trust it's a benevolent universe, I trust I've done my work, both inner and energy, you know, behind that work, I trust it's on its way, I will find it. Mindset is so, so important.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
My next question is that how can we manifest our one big thing even when circumstances seem impossible?
Great question. What I like starting with to attract the one big thing is something called a requirement list, where we write down really specifically exactly what it is, not just I hope to attract a partner, for example, but what does this partner look like? What do they do for a living? Where do they live? What are their hobbies? What newspapers do they read? What do they look like? Where do you meet them? So you get really, really, really clear. That's where I believe it starts. And then you need to put work behind it. I had a person in one of the circles that everybody knew for a long time that what she wanted was a partner. So when she'd go to a party and she saw her friends, she would walk up to them and then she'd say, "Hi, everybody. Have you met my husband?" And they'd say, "No, I didn't know you had one. And I don't. I wonder if you've met him."
what a great way to say it.
I know. Isn't that adorable? And that's a cute way of putting work behind the intention. You know, you just have to step outside of your comfort zone. In her case, I think it was comfortable for her to be that silly and fun about it, but you have to put work behind it. So that's the other piece to bring in the big one.
Very interesting. So time for two more questions for you. My next question is that as you look into your crystal ball, how do you envision the evolution of the principles in your book in the next few years?
I have never thought of it that way. I love that. And I love the idea of having a crystal ball to peer into. So let's see. I'm peering into it. I see them going further, reaching more people so that more people can live their fullest, most authentic life and be lit up too and be unstoppable. I would love that. That's what the crystal ball is showing me right now.
Okay. And my last question. Sorry, you're going to say something?
No, thank you. I'm good.
And my last question to you, Catherine, this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. What would you say are three lessons you would like a lot of our viewers and listeners to take away from your book and from our conversation?
One of the lessons would be mindful of your thoughts.
Sorry?
Would be mindful of your thoughts.
Mindful, okay.
Not in a way that's, anxious or being overly concerned, but like if you notice that you say, "Oh, I can't believe I forgot that. I'm so dumb." Just flip it immediately to "I'm so smart." Flip it to its positive opposite. So being mindful of thoughts would be a takeaway. getting good at receiving would be a takeaway. Mm-hmm. So that if you're asked, if, for example, if I can I help you with that, or do you need anything, or if you're given a compliment, to simply receive it. Because as I said before, and it deserves being underscored, I think, mm-hmm. if you can't accept help for the little things, it's going to be really hard mm-hmm. to call in this great big thing Correct. You really, really desire. Mm-hmm. And I think the third thing would be to always be giving thanks, you know, always coming from gratitude, mm-hmm. thanking the universe even for the things on their way, you know, that I haven't seen yet in mm-hmm. this 3D world, but I just trust is on its way.
Mm, very interesting. Yeah. And on that mm-hmm. note, and some of your amazing comments, be mindful of your thoughts. Anything that you think you're saying negative, flip it to the positive. Always come mm-hmm. from gratitude. And of course, I just want to restate your 7 tools, which are the deep desire, learn how to receive, shadow work. Then you said, use the I am statement, love versus fear, synchronicity, and grace and gratitude. Thank you, Catherine, right. for speaking to me about your amazing birth story. Thank you for talking to me about your book and so many different aspects of how a lot of us can listen to this conversation, can reread your book, and hopefully get into a more positive mind frame for an unstoppable life. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Ash. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.